The NL East may just be the toughest division in all of baseball between the big spending Mets and Phillies and, of course, the defending champion Braves. Who will win the division this year? Our answers may surprise you.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special edition of Locked On MLB, where we will preview the NL Central for the 2023 season. I'm your host, Daniela Bruce, and I'm an anchor for Locked On and broadcast reporter for the Detroit Tigers. Thank you for making Locked On MLB part of your day. We are a part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. On today's podcast, we will discuss who will be the king of this crowded division. Is it really anyone's game, or will it just be whoever has the biggest payroll? Where do the Marlins factor into this discussion? And will we see the Nationals take a step forward this year? We've got a lot to talk about, and I've got some great guests joining me today. I'm going to just get them all in here. This is really exciting stuff, you guys. As I mentioned, the NL East is a very, very crowded division, and really, I think it's anyone's game at this point. There are a few front runners, obviously, but there are so many exciting things that we have to talk about. And we are going to kick things off with talking about the Atlanta Braves. And to do that, we have Jake Mastriani, who is the Locked On Braves host. And they've been the NL East champs for five straight seasons, Jake, and they have a good chance at making that a sixth straight season. And the biggest question for the Braves is what I think everybody wants to know. What is it that could keep this team from doing that again, from making it six straight champions?
Well, it could be the Phillies. It could be the Mets. It could be regression. I mean, it's the toughest division in all of baseball, in my opinion, but no offense, Peter and Ryan, to the Marlins and Nationals, but it is a great division. And you saw last year, the Mets get out to a hot start. It took every little bit that the Braves had to come back and win that division. And look, on paper, and somebody asked me this on my podcast the other day, what worries you the most? This lineup, I think, is as deep as it's ever been. I think it's certainly capable of winning the division again, winning a World Series, but there's always those concerns. What if Acuna doesn't ever get back fully healthy? What if Charlie Morton doesn't have a bounce back season? What if Michael Harris and Spencer Strider have a sophomore slump? I mean, there's questions like that that concern you, but I don't think I've ever been more confident in the depth of a Braves roster going into a season.
And can you just give us a comment on the addition of Sean Murphy? They signed him obviously quickly to a six-year extension. What does he bring to the Braves lineup?
Yeah, I mean, the Braves may have had the best catching tandem in all of baseball last year, and then they go out and get Sean Murphy, which I think is a forward-thinking type of move with the rule changes and the bigger bases and perhaps more stolen bases coming into a game. He has an elite arm. He's an elite pitch framer. He's just an elite defensive catcher behind the plate. So I think that's going to add a huge benefit to the Braves, just kind of that up-the-middle defense, getting somebody behind the plate who's a veteran back there now, considered one of the best, you know, catchers defensively in all of baseball. So again, it's not a move anybody was expecting this offseason from the Braves. They already had two really good catchers, but I think it's more of a forward thinking one with the rule changes that are coming. I think it's going to be a huge benefit for the Braves.
All right. Well, it sounds like we like the Braves' odds at getting their sixth straight NL East title, but there's a couple teams that could actually, like you said, Jake, prevent that from happening. And one of them is the Mets. I talked about them being one of the biggest spending teams in the offseason. If they were to win the NL East this year, Ryan Finkelstein is the host of Locked On Mets. He's joining us today. As I mentioned, it could be the third NL East title since the turn of the century for the Mets this year. Do you think that's going to happen? Is this the year that they could come away with an NL East championship?
I think it is. You know, you look at what the Mets got last year from Max Scherzer and Jacob deGrom. 34 starts is the number I look at. I believe they're going to get a lot more from Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer this year. I could see them starting at least 54 games. That's a third of your game started by future first ballot Hall of Famers. So I really like the Mets' chances. They bring back pretty much the same offense. They got top prospects coming up, like Brett Beatty, who could break camp with the team. We're still waiting on that at third base, but I really like the Mets' chances. And compared to the Braves last year, I do wonder about Dansby Swanson not being there. We thought Vaughn Grisham was going to be the starting shortstop. He's now starting the season in the minor leagues. Orlando Arcia is going to get that nod. So I do wonder how that impacts the Braves if they do take a slight step back there, and maybe the Mets can improve a little bit and take this division.
the Detroit girl in me has to ask about that tandem of Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer. Are you confident in the fact that this team is building around those two? Obviously, they're aging a little bit. They're getting up there in age, but are you confident in those two as the 1-2 punch and really the heart of this Mets team?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, right now we've already seen a couple of things about Jacob deGrom in camp. He just made his first start not too long ago, whereas Verlander and Scherzer are going through spring like sage veterans that are up to 80, 90 pitches and just seem ready to go from jump. So I think the two of them look to have a really big year that could both be Cy Youngs. Like either one of them could be a contender in that department. And the Phillies got some arms like that. The Braves do as well. But I think the Mets duo is going to be the top duo in this division when it comes to starting pitching.
Breaking my heart. They make it to the World Series. It's going to break not only mine, but everyone in Detroit's heart as well. And we haven't even talked about the team that represented the National League in the World Series last year, which is the Phillies. Connor Thomas of Locked On Phillies is joining us. And there was some good news for the Phillies, who chose not to put Bryce Harper on the 60-day IL leading into the season. What chances do you give the Phillies, Connor, at getting the division crown in 2023?
You know, it's going to be tough. I'm going to say basically the same thing I said last year, because while the Phillies improved, so did the Mets, so did the Braves. I mean, you're looking at it, all due respect to the guys in the middle here on your screen, a three-team race that's super powerful in this division. But what I tell Phillies fans all the time when they tune into Locked On Phillies is you don't have to win the division. Would it be nice to win the NL East? Yes. But this division is talented enough that even the second or third team that comes out of this division can obviously make a run like the Phillies did last year. And as long as you have, I don't know if you can see it on my bet, yeah, that guy, yeah. A little Trey Turner action. I think the Phillies are going to have as good a look at as anybody. So looking forward to a good year from them. And even if they don't win the division, it's going to be a fun year in Philadelphia.
And what would you say are the biggest concerns? I like that you're tempering the expectations for fans, right? If you don't win this stacked division, there could still be some positives. What do you think the concerns would be that would prevent them from being the crown of this division?
Well, the tough thing when you have a team that makes a deep playoff run for the first time is you have a lot of guys, especially your starting rotation, that see the most amount of innings that they've ever seen in their career on their arms. You couple that with the lockout, and then you've got a real short offseason. You've already seen Ranger Suarez with some forearm tightness. Zach Wheeler hasn't looked great in spring. Who knows how Aaron Nola is going to react with his arm. And it's just a lot of innings on these guys' arms. So you could see a little wear and tear early on in the season while these guys try and get stretched out. And that's kind of what you're looking at, along with the Bryce Harper injury and when he returns. Just questions about how these guys hold up following a really long campaign in 2022.
And again, the Tiger girl coming out in me, I just can't help it. But Nick Maton and Matt Vierling seem like really great guys. I got to spend a few days in Lakeland with the Tigers for spring training, and we're happy to welcome them here to Detroit. What'd you think of them?
They're absolutely awesome. If you could see the way I got a chance to be in the locker room when they were celebrating for a couple of those playoff series wins, those guys can party. They're great locker room guys, though. They're really good young players, and we were sad to see them go. But Gregory Soto is going to be all right here, I think, as well.
He'll do well for you guys, too. We're a big fan of his as well. All right, we're going to talk about the Marlins now, too.
Today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel. With the MLB season upon us and the NBA playoffs right around the corner, now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because their new customers are going to get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, it's secure, it's super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the line to the spread to point scores, three-pointers drained. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. Also, today we're discussing the NL East. If you want to bet on who wins this division, you can find the Braves plus 100, the Mets plus 155, the Phillies plus 400. If you're really crazy, the Marlins plus 4,000 or the Nationals plus 25,000. Don't miss your chance again, though, to get that no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA.
And as Connor so kindly pointed out, that they might be the two irrelevant teams in the Marlins. And,
I didn't say all that.
You implied it. And the Nationals in the division with the three juggernauts at the top. But the Marlins are quietly building. They're shuffling some roster spots and kind of waiting in the shadows behind some of these teams here that are in the tough NL East. Peter Pratt from Locked On Marlins joining us right now. Let's take it from this angle, Peter. Do you think the Marlins could be a playoff team? And if not, what kind of steps forward are they going to take this year?
I think they could sneak into the wild card three spot if everything goes perfectly. What happens in baseball? The majority of times, nothing goes perfectly. So, you know, I'm not sure how you take that answer. They're lacking a bit of depth, and there's a bit of a social experiment going on with the Marlins this year. They're planning to go with 8 second basemen, a catcher, and a rotation. That's the methodology. They have loaded their team full of second basemen. Absolutely love what they've been doing. They're looking for a contact approach. It's going to be interesting to see. They're a pitching and defense team. Historically, they've now, with all these rule changes, decided to, go with zero defense. So we're going to see how this plays out for the Marlins. But they don't have the money to spend, right? We can't look at what the Mets do, what the Phillies do. The Marlins have to take a different approach. And we're going to see if that works. There's a lot of pressure on Kim Ang. There's a lot of pressure on first-time manager Skip Schumacher. So there's a lot of storylines going on in Miami right now. If everything goes well, they could make a run. The rotation is definitely good enough to keep them in ball games. Can the offense take that next step? That's the key question for the Marlins this year.
You mentioned Skip Schumacher. Do you have any idea on the pulse of the fan base and on the organization, how they're liking him so far? I know it's early, but there has to be some sort of pulse, right?
Definitely. The general vibe has been positive, I'd say, on Skip. It was time to make that change from Don Mattingly into Skip Schumacher. I think Skip, being a relatively recent player himself, I think is a real step change from Donnie as well. So I think Skip understands the modern-day player, what they need, how they can set themselves up to succeed. So early indications are really positive with Skip. The reality will soon set in the regular season. And if the Marlins get off to a 2-20 start or something crazy, then there'll be a lot of pressure on Skip Schumacher too.
And one more for you here, Peter. Jean Segura, nice addition. How's he settling in at third base? Because that's a bit of a change for him. How's that looking for the Marlins?
Well, that's to the point, right? I mean, the Marlins have got so many second basemen here, and where do you play him? Mean Gene, over third, I think he can handle the position. The Marlins are asking so much of their roster this year defensively, you know, Mean Gene at third. But the main storyline clearly is Jazz Chisholm Jr. transition out of center field, and that really is the key storyline defensively. That's, you know, the Marlins season will hinge on how these guys can settle in. I think Gene can handle third fine. He's only played it for, you know, 30 games historically with the Phillies in 2020, I believe, in the COVID year. But really, defensively, it's all about, can Jazz handle center field, or do the Marlins have to flick to plan B, of which I'm not clear what plan B is at this point. So we'll wait to see what that looks like.
All right. And last, but certainly not least, but as we've discussed already, maybe they are least in this division, Ryan. I'm sorry. Ryan Clary from Locked On Nationals is joining us now. There has to be something interesting about the Nationals this year. What is that, Ryan? What should everybody look for in the Nationals this year?
You know, before the season started, obviously we were talking about Cade Cavalli, Josiah Gray, and Mackenzie Gore. Well, Cade Cavalli is now going to be out for the season with Tommy John surgery, but you still have those two young guys. Last year's staff for the Washington Nationals, easily the worst in baseball. Josiah Gray, he led the MLB in home runs given up. He led the NL in walks given up. This is a staff that desperately needed improvement. And I think Mackenzie Gore and Josiah Gray taking those steps up this year will actually be something fun to watch for. And then even later in the season, you'll get a number one prospect, or a former number one prospect in the system, Robert Hassel. He should be making his debut at some point this season. So that is some fun stuff to watch for this year, as we won't really be competing in the NL East.
The Nationals were quiet this offseason, and I'm wondering, was that something you expected? Are you okay with that? And does that just mean they're really focusing on the development of their young talent? How did you see that situation this offseason?
So actually, this offseason, it was supposed to be about ownership change. That's what we thought. We went into this offseason thinking, by the winter meetings even, that we could have new ownership in town. Obviously, that did not happen. And at this point, it's very unlikely that they sell the team anytime soon. So with that being said, the Nationals did not spend. They were quiet. And also, they're in the middle of a huge TV battle right now with the Baltimore Orioles, and that hasn't gone anywhere either. So it's been a quiet offseason. It wasn't supposed to be, but it's been a quiet one.
All right. Well, we're going to get to the fun question here, because like we said, this division is going to be really hard to predict, and it's going to be a really fun division to watch for this 2023 season. Who's going to win who is going to win the NL East? And we're going to go around the table here and you're all going to give your reasonings. I don't mind if you pick the same teams. That's okay. But give us your reasons to back it up. And Ryan, since we were with you talking Nationals, who's going to take the crown on the NL East this year?
I think it's the Atlanta Braves, you know, with the Braves. This is the thing with the Mets. I know Max Scherzer. I know what he can do. And he's going to be healthy. I have full faith in Max Scherzer staying healthy this year. And then you have Justin Verlander as well. The Mets are a very solid team. But then I look at the Braves. I can't unsee what they have done forever. They are consistent, even if they don't have the depth that they had in the farm system anymore. I guarantee you at some point this season, someone will come out and he'll be an impact player for them if they have any injuries of any sort. And obviously with Grissom, I think at some point, he will get the call up. He will be the shortstop. And I think he is a huge difference maker as well. So it's hard to pick against the Braves at this point. We've seen it time and time again with them.
All right, Jake. Well, Ryan's pretty high on the Braves and you didn't seem to have many critiques for what could go wrong for the Braves this year too. Who do you think's taking the division? Is it the Braves?
Yeah, I hate people actually buying into the Braves winning this year. It feels like they always get picked against because of all the spending the Mets and Phillies do. But I do think the Braves win it again. As I said, I think this is the deepest roster they've had. You look at the starting rotation, and you know, and as Ryan just said, they already have two rookies who have seemingly come out of nowhere competing for the fifth spot over guys like Ian Anderson and Bryce Elder, who have major league experience. So I just think there's a lot of depth, rotation, bullpen. Lineup, you know, could be the only thing if there were some major injuries there or guys didn't, you know, perform as capable of. But I just think this lineup, if they perform to what we've seen in the past, I think they have a very good chance to win the division again and perhaps even win a World Series. But that's not to say, you know, the Mets couldn't. I really, you know, fear the Mets a lot. Obviously, Trey Turner and what he's done to the Braves historically gives me nightmares. So, I mean, it's going to be a good race, but I'll say the Braves just because I think they do have a lot of very good depth.
I'm really pumped to tell you about our new partner and the sponsor of today's episode, the mobile game Ultimate Baseball GM. If you're like me and you've dreamed of becoming an MLB GM, you now get to live out that dream. It's unbelievable what this game can do for you. You can manage every strategic aspect of your team, play through the season, lead your team to glory. You're responsible from everything where it comes down to hiring the right coaches and staff, you know, managing team finances, scouting and drafting players, managing difficult personalities, navigating your franchise through free agency, and all of the ups and downs of a season, all of this in a challenging and realistic game world. Ultimate Baseball GM is completely free, and the best part, it's playable offline, so you can play on the go as you want, when you want. Once downloaded, you don't need Wi-Fi to play. It's all there for you in app play, which for me is great because I've always loved to play MLB The Show on my PlayStation. It's not in my phone if I'm waiting, you know, a long line at the grocery store and I want to pull my phone out, play a little bit of Ultimate Baseball GM. I now have that luxury and I absolutely love it. You will too. Locked On listeners are going to get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo code Locked On in the game store. So make sure to check it out. To download the game, just visit probaseballgm.com. If you're watching on YouTube, you can scan the code in the bottom right of the screen, or you can look it up on the app stores. That's probaseballgm.com. Check out Ultimate Baseball GM. Start your dynasty today.
Okay, so clearly scared a little bit by the Phillies and the Mets, the big spenders in the division. Let's start with the Mets. Ryan Finkelstein, tell us who you think is going to win the division, and is it going to be your Mets?
I can't just give the Braves a clean sweep, you know. I'm going to be counting on Peter and Connor to kind of come on my side a little bit so we can take this 3-2. I do think the Mets are the team that can come out and win this division, but honestly, I kind of view this division the same lens as last year. I think the Mets and the Braves are going to be hovering around 100 wins. I think the Phillies are going to be a wild card team, and I think any of those three teams, when we get to October, can make a run. Last year, I kept on saying that the Phillies were the best puncher's chance team in baseball, and they showed it. So I'm very scared of the Phillies come October, but I think that, you know, some of the things Connor was mentioning with coming off a run, I think their arms might get out of the gate a little bit slow. But overall, those three teams, I believe, will all make the playoffs this year. When it comes to who wins the division, of course, I'm going to take my Mets, but I would not be surprised at all if the Braves won again because, like we've mentioned, they kind of win every single year.
You know, I'm going to pitch you this question, Ryan, and the schedule is obviously going to look a little different for every MLB team this year, playing some some more matchups, a lot more matchups outside of the division. Do you like that? Does that benefit the Mets? How do you think that impacts their record at the end of the year?
You know, I think for one, you're going to see some low win totals in the Central. I think in both leagues, because I think that there's a lot of power on each coast. When it comes to this division, I don't know how much it's going to play into it. Last year, the Mets and the Braves almost played to a draw, but then again, that made the difference. It was with tiebreaker where the Braves sweep that last series. So I do wonder how that's going to work out as far as, you know, the tiebreaker at the end. I think it's 14 games instead of 19 games. So are we going to have some 7-7 splits, and it could come down to some really weird tiebreakers at the end of the season? It's going to be interesting, but until we really see it play out, I don't know how much of a change it's going to make.
I'm just wondering, any other of the hosts on this podcast right now, do you think that's going to impact your team specifically at all? If you do, kind of raise your hand. If not, it's like school, right? Like, raise your hand. Oh, you do. Jake, what do you think?
Yeah, so I think it increases the opportunity for, I mean, I think all three of the big teams in the NL East have a good chance to get in, but I think it just increases the ability of that to happen. I mean, as good as all three of those rosters are, I could see all of them easily making the postseason. But when you take out the fact we don't have to play each other as much and you get to play some of those central teams a little bit more, I think it just increases the odds of all three teams getting in again. And then, like Ryan Finkelstein said, if you know that happens, either one of those teams could make a run. It all comes down to who's hot at the time, which we saw with the Braves 2 years ago make a run and win it. You saw with the Phillies last year who got hot at the right time and made a run. So all three of those teams are capable of going to the postseason and winning a World Series. And I just think the balanced schedule now increases those that chance of happening.
All right, now we will move on to talking about the other big spenders in the division, in the Phillies. Connor, what do you think? Who's taking the NL East crown?
Listen, you're really going to make the Philly guy say the Phillies are going to win it, but I'll play that card here. It's kind of what we do in this city. I think this team's got as good a shot as any, and I know the Braves have run this division for more than the past half decade. I know the Mets are a super talented team. When I look at the Phillies, and maybe I'm reading into stuff that's not there, but they just feel like they have so much momentum, even just looking at the World Baseball Classic and like Kyle Schwarber hitting that home run off of Yu Darvish in the final, just like he did in the NLCS. Trey Turner going absolutely off, hitting 5 home runs in the tournament. Bryce Harper potentially coming back early. Something about this team just feels like they've figured out that they can win, and I feel a really good run from them this year. I think the rotation's underrated. I think Taijuan Walker is a huge addition. And if he slots into the 4th spot in your rotation, you're in solid shape, especially if Andrew Painter can get healthy and make a debut as the top pitching prospect in baseball once he gets over a UCL sprain. So there's stuff that has to go right for them to jump the Braves and the Mets. I'm not saying the Phillies are going to walk to an NL East title, or anybody is. And I think all three teams make the playoffs when we talk about the top three. But sure, I'll pick the Phillies to win it. Why not? No one had them going to the World Series last year, and I think they're a 90-plus win team, which definitely puts them in the conversation.
That's right. Go for the underdog. I think Detroit and Philly have that same mindset. Detroit's probably way out of it this year, but I'm still going to tell you that they're going to turn things around this year. It's the optimism in our cities, right? But you did mention Bryce Harper, and I want to ask you, because obviously he's going to come back at some point. That's been pretty clear. But even without Bryce Harper, you think this team can be competing for that NL East title?
I'll tell you what, the lineup the Phillies are going to roll out on opening day without Bryce Harper is better than the lineup they rolled out on opening day last year with Bryce Harper. They moved, Didi Gregorius is now gone. Gene Segura is now in Miami, and you upgrade there by putting Bryson Stott at his natural position of second base. And Trey Turner, even though we love Gene Segura, is an upgrade in the middle infield from him. And then you get Brandon Marsh, who's a better player than your new friend Matt Vierling, out there in center field, who's put in a lot of work this offseason with hitting coach Kevin Long. So the lineup's already improved without the guy who's an MVP caliber player. So when you add him back in, that's just going to be a huge boost to them. I think they can easily withstand the time that they miss Harper, especially now that it looks like he's back ahead of schedule.
All right. Well, you've convinced me. I'm going to keep my eye on the Phillies this season for sure. Peter, what do you think? Who's taking the title here in the NL East?
Let me just start with the fact the Marlins have never won the division before. And 2023, that will continue, I believe, unless something goes crazy. It'd be wild.
So I'm not going to call optimism in Miami than Philly. Okay, we get it.
I mean, there's been a lot of optimism in Miami recently for the WBC, which has been amazing. How great has it been to see Lone Depot packed out like that and those kind of attendances and that kind of fandom going on there. I'd love to see that in Miami during the regular season. I'm not convinced that will continue. Maybe opening day, but overall for me in this division, I struggle to see past the Braves. I just feel like their roster is the best roster overall. I also believe they, by some distance, have the best GM in baseball as well, actually. And so they won't be done. There's always a plan with the Braves. There always, always is. And you never see it coming. That's the thing with the Braves. The news drops and no one has heard anything about it until it's happened. Left scratching head going, wow, the Braves have done it again. I think the Braves actually win this division by some margin, actually. I know maybe we're expecting a head-to-head with the Mets and Braves a little bit like last year, but I can see it being by some distance this year. I think the Phils are in the mix. The Mets are in the mix, clearly. As all the guys say, I think three of them do make the postseason. Wouldn't it be wild if there was four teams from the NL East that made the postseason? I know it's hard with the schedules, but if everything goes right for the Marlins, who knows? They could sneak in wildcard three.
You say it's hard for the schedules, and we did just talk about it, the fact that the schedule's changing a bit. You don't think it benefits the Marlins a little bit to be playing against some of the weaker division opponents instead of the top three teams in their division?
Oh, 100%. In terms of the impact here, like for the Marlins, this is a really big impact and a really big change because they are fighting for a wildcard three spot. That's the objective at the start of the year, apart from winning the division, clearly. But I do think this really does help the Marlins. If they start hot, and their schedule is really tough early on, actually, mainly because it's against all the NL East guys. But if they start hot, get to the deadline, and are buyers at the deadline, who knows? Like this does help to play some of the weaker teams potentially instead of playing an extra, 15 games against the other three from the Beast from the East. So, yeah, I think it's a really positive change for the Marlins. We'll see if it plays out. They have to start hot. There's a few free agents there, pending free agents on the roster. They will be sellers if they're adrift. And so that's clearly the concern, that they will be sellers again. And it'll be another year without the postseason and a division crown.
All right, everybody. Well, there you have it. There's a season preview for the NL East on the 2023 season. A big thank you to all of these gentlemen for joining me today. We've got Ryan Clary of Locked On Nationals, Jake Mastriani of Locked On Braves, Ryan Finkelstein of Locked On Mets, Peter Pratt of Locked On Marlins, and last but certainly not least, Connor Thomas of Locked On Phillies. Again, thank you all so much for giving us this preview of the NL East. It's going to be one of the most, if not the most, exciting divisions in baseball.
Thanks,
and of course, a big thank you to everybody that's listening to Locked On MLB, this special edition of the NL East preview for the 2023 season. Make sure you stay locked on. Subscribe on YouTube or anywhere you get your podcast. This has been Locked On MLB. I'm Daniela Bruce. We'll see all you guys next time.